Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
To the strains of Metallica, we welcome you into the second hour. Here on SJS, Joe Susan joins us at 4:35. Levi Damian, our thanks to him from Silver and Black Pride, talking about Matt McGloin, but also talking about the Raiders situation in general. They have some big decisions to make. Oakland has three teams right now, the Golden State Warriors, the A's, and the Raiders. A year from now, they could have all three or none. Tough way to live.
Especially if you're a season ticket holder out there. Holy cow, what do you do?
You wait to renew.
Well, it's more than that, though, guys. I mean, what's happened is that you're seeing, for them, a deterioration in their facilities there. I mean, how many teams right now are playing in multi-purpose stadiums where both the football and baseball team play? Where?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Where's that happening? That's the only place in America that happens now. The Marlins stopped doing that. They built their own place. Now, there's an issue in play, and that's the issue I brought up at the end. The A's want to move to San Jose. The Giants won't let them. Okay, the Giants have the San Jose market protected for them. That's the issue they have right now. So you could have next year the Warriors playing in San Francisco. You could have the A's playing eventually in San Jose. You could eventually have the Raiders back in Los Angeles.
Kevin, cue up the music for Do You Know the Way to San Jose? There'd be a lot of Oakland fans wanting that song.
It's true. Yeah.
But you know what? At least it would be their own situation.
Yeah.
But they need, you know, it's an 800-acre area. They want to put $2 billion into that area to make it work. Whether they can make it work or not, I don't know. But that's where they are, and that's where Matt McGloin is now, playing for the Raiders. And it looks like he'll be the starting quarterback again this week.
Steve, just such an amazing story about Matt McGloin. I mean, you know him very well. You've talked to him and interviewed him time after time. And I said that he's a person of indomitable spirit. That
yeah, he is.
He
yeah,
just
I would say that.
Amazing that where other people would get down or discouraged. I don't think that the word discouraged is in his vocabulary.
Well, it's interesting. You have three Penn State players that play for the Raiders. All three are completely different stories and backgrounds. McGloin, walk-on, earns scholarship, fights for starting job, wins some big games, has starting job complete to himself, has Bill O'Brien at the end, free agent, rejected by Carolina, signs with the Raiders, and we heard the story play out the way Levi Damian told us about.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. You have Stefan Wisniewski. Blue blood football player from a blue blood family. His uncle is on the verge of being in the Hall of Fame. His father was a second round pick and a very good player for the Colts when he played. All of them went to Penn State and so forth. Okay, so fine. Then there's Jack Crawford. Okay, grew up in England. In England.
Yes.
Okay, no idea he's going to play football until he gets to the States. And then he gets here to the States. Plays, I think, what, 1 year of high school football, maybe two, signs with Penn State, has a really good career, and now he's with the Raiders. You had three distinct stories all coming together, all through Penn State, all ending up in Oakland, and Kevin loves stories.
He does.
So Kevin loves stories. He just likes it when they're told to him, and he doesn't have to dig for them.
He pretends it's nap time. He gets his little nappy, and he cues up the theme music, and he just loves it.
I did, though, find an interesting photo. We may have to post it on stevejonesshow.com. It's the new site that Bay Area voters approved for the new stadium, and it's on Alcatraz.
I thought that was rather... The parking might be a little bit of an issue, and being able to get to the stadium might be a challenge.
Well, definitely swimming is not one of the main ideas of how to get there. Looks like ferry boats will be the main course of getting 60 to 70,000 people across the bay.
Well, it's really great, though, because on the stadium scoreboard, when they enter the field, Sean Connery comes out and says, "Welcome to the Rock."
So, Steve, tonight you are going to be doing the Penn State-LaSalle game. Meanwhile, on Eagle 107, we've got the Bucknell Bison going into New York City to play the Johnnies of St. John's. Kind of two different storylines, you know, with Bucknell and going one way, Penn State having a big challenge and a rebound opportunity tonight.
Penn State will win tonight. So that's not, you know, this is a big challenge, but they'll win. They have really practiced well. They're set to go. I would be shocked if they don't win tonight. If they don't win, I'll be shocked. I mean, I'll just tell you the next day. I'm just telling you. I think the way they've practiced and so forth, I think that they're ready to go for this game. This is basically the same LaSalle team that we saw last year, with the exception of Galloway. And Galloway is a loss, there's no doubt. Galloway was a very tough matchup for Penn State last year. Tough matchup for a lot of people.
Well,
Zach Kidd, they did a great job with him in the high post last year against Penn State. I just think that I think Penn State now understands how they want to play, and the Julian Moore kid is going to be a player for them. I mean, Julian Moore is going to be a player for Penn State. No question.
I saw Galloway last year at Bucknell, and he can light up a scoreboard and keep it going for a full 48 minutes. He can be a phenomenal shooter.
Transfer from South Carolina.
Yep.
Transfer from South Carolina, you know, got his chance to play there, did a good job. Good player, good-looking player.
Yep. Thankfully, he's gone for opponents.
I mean, well, no, I mean, I personally drove him to the airport. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Exactly. You got him out of town.
If you're a team guy, those are things you've got to do. Right. Kevin's busy writing opens. I'm driving guys to the airport we don't need to see. I mean,
exactly.
It's just the difference is the kind of team guy you really are.
And tonight's, I think, is going to be a very interesting matchup for Bucknell going into the city. To play a St. John's laden-in-tradition program.
Yeah, the problem there is the athleticism. That's the problem. There's athletic mismatches all over the floor tonight for Bucknell. That's what is going to be a problem. There's certain mismatches. There were a couple things that they could exploit against Penn State, okay? And there were a couple things against Stanford they could exploit. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what they can exploit against St. John's. I really don't. And St. John's has lost. Wisconsin beat them. But Wisconsin is a really good basketball team, and Bo is, of course, the only guy in basketball that can take the new rules and can still win 59-53.
They're a real frustrating basketball team. But you know, one of the things I think the new rules do for Bucknell is it really plays into their style a lot better.
Yeah, here's the problem, okay? It plays in the St. John's style really well.
I don't doubt that. I'm just saying, you know, when you look at all the teams that are struggling with the new rules, Bucknell's one team that really isn't struggling as much.
Yeah, they don't, because they want to play finesse basketball.
Yeah, Bucknell.
I mean, and that's the reason why. They want to play finesse basketball. Penn State, the odd thing is that he's built a team here with the Attitude Club and so forth, that the guys like the Kevin Montmanese from Penns Valley and Alan Wisniewski, well, you know, they can certainly fit in and play the game when it's a little rough and tumble, need a little, you know, a dive on the floor. But those things end up being fouls now. So that kind of player for the moment is taken out. And I think he did a really, really smart thing, guys. I think when he looked at Julian Moore and he took the red shirt off and said, you know what? You're the kind of player I think I need to have out there. Your style, that was smart to do. I mean, instead of being stubborn and saying, you know what, got to hold him back one more year, then we'll play him, he said, the heck with this, need to win now. And I liked it.
Well, I think tonight will be kind of the first real test of that, and
they tested it out again. Inside, I'll tell you right now, the inside guys for Penn – Okay. The center for Penn's better than anybody Bucknell has.
Okay.
Right? He's just playing better. And Penn State handled it. This Moore can block shots. He knows his role. He can run the floor. He is, you know, he needs the weight room badly, but he also has length. And because of his length, he gives Penn State a better post presence because of that length. And that makes a difference. The post guys, the post presence for Penn is better than Bucknell, to be honest with you. And I say that with all due respect to Brian Fitzpatrick, but he would not start for Penn. Right. And he wouldn't start for Penn. So
maybe that explains that transfer.
Yeah, there you go.
Gee. I can put that two and two together and get a four every once in a while.
But so, go ahead, Kevin.
No, finish that thought.
Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was just going to say, I just found the welcome to the new Oakland Stadium line that you were talking about.
Welcome to the Rock.
I just happened to find that.
That part where you go into the fire, that was really cool.
So we,
it would be a great way to start a football game. You know,
welcome to the Rock.
You've got to put that up on the big screen if they ever would do something like that. That would just...
Well, I think it probably would have to get permission from somebody.
Yeah.
So something tells me they're not going to build a stadium at Alcatraz. You have parking issues as it is.
Yeah, I would say.
Let's talk about parking. What parking?
There is none.
We built on an island in the middle of the bay.
And all of a sudden, you have this cruise ship back and forth shuttling people to the game.
But the trouble is, the cruise ship's only like 5,000 at a time.
Right.
As one who's been to the bay occasionally, a couple times, there's that fog issue.
They have a little fog issue. There won't be
any 1 o'clock starts in those games because you can't see the Rock till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon when the fog lifts.
Exactly.
So that will be it's a little problematic, but. You know, and what, Steve, the number that you mentioned, $2 billion, no matter how you slice or dice it, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, except I guess they want to do it in such a way where it doesn't affect the taxpayer. If they do that, then I'm okay. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm always, you know me, the way I look at this is I've always looked at it as a one-third proposition. One-third should always be put up by the team. Let's face it, they're a prime beneficiary. One-third should be put up by the league. The league needs the market, especially when it comes to TV negotiations. And one-third should be put up by the community, because guess what? The community is going to benefit big time. Restaurants, hotels, more employment. That means more payroll taxes, things like that. There are a lot of things that come into play. So I've always felt that it is one-third, one-third, one-third. And, of course, you'd never see that taken care of. Now, supposedly this $2 billion project, they think they can do it maybe without crushing people on taxes or bond issues.
Steve,
I don't know.
You mentioned before there aren't many still left that play multi-purpose type stadiums. Is there a way to build a new stadium with the technology we have now to be able to roll seats in and out and redesign the stadium seating so that you could do a multi-purpose stadium?
Well, you could, except, look...
If you could roll a field in and out of a stadium so the grass grows, right. I would think you could be able to find something with the seats.
I understand that, but they're two distinctive different sports, the way it's set up. I think it's kind of hard to set up a ballpark. I mean, the cookie-cutter stadiums were all... 330 down each line, 400 right. to dead center. Okay, great. Yeah. Fabulous. Baseball's not like that. And also, you've also seen a reduction. I think you'll see a reduction in seats in football when they build new stadiums. They're probably going to be in the 50,000 to 60,000 range because of the trend that we're seeing, obviously, with flat screen, HD TV. But I think they want people to get into stadiums, but they're going to lower the numbers instead of having 92,000, 80,000, whatever. They're going to see a lot of them in the 50 to 60. You notice in baseball, all the new ballparks are being built between 37 and 45,000. Okay, well, really 37 to 43.
Here's a thought, right, lower the price.
Steve, look no further.
Okay, but here's the problem with lowering the price. I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay.
Here's the problem with lowering the price. Okay? I agree with you. You are absolutely right. Okay, so I am not disagreeing with your premise at all. Because you would think with the proliferation of television money flowing in that the prices should be lowered.
Between that and the merchandising money, yeah, I would think that there would be an opportunity to lower the price.
You would think you should. Here's the problem. You just signed your catcher for 3 years, $26 million. He's one guy. Okay? And he's not even getting top of the line money. You're looking at, you know, payrolls that are up over $100 million consistently. You know, some of that's from TV money, some of that's from ticket prices and so forth. And that's the problem. The problem happens to be the salaries that are being paid out by ownership and players. There are no caps. Baseball doesn't have a cap. Let's start with that. There's no cap in baseball. At least football has a cap, which magically matches the television number.
Yeah.
Huh. But baseball doesn't have a cap. And their union is steadfast about not having a cap. Well, that's where your ticket prices come in because, let's face it, take Jacoby Ellsbury. Well, Jacoby Ellsbury is going to be probably the prime free agent on the market this winter. I mean, he may get $20 million. Well, the Red Sox are going to pay $20 million, and they have it. They're not going to pay it. But somebody else will.
But I think baseball is the one, though, that runs into the problem more than football because people are willing to pay a little bit more for a football ticket because they know there's only a finite amount of games that you can go see in a year.
That's right.
Baseball is a big issue. When you're paying 40 bucks a seat in some places to get a decent seat for a baseball game and there's a load of those games available, they're going to be really, really picky. And I think that baseball is going to have to make a serious adjustment. And I think it has to start with the owners saying, listen, we can't pay these salaries anymore. I'm all for making whatever you can make, but I think there's got to be a line somewhere.
Let me raise my hand to the back room and throw out the word that's going to crush your argument.
Oh, here we go.
No, seriously.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
No. The union would look at you and say collusion.
Oh, yeah. Well, the union's going to have an issue with that.
That would be called antitrust to the lawyers in the group.
Yes, there's no question. Right. The union would have a problem with that.
They would scream collusion because the last time the owners quietly tried to do this, they screamed collusion and busted the whole thing up.
But I think the union's also going to have to sit back and realize that this can't continue the way it is because baseball numbers are going down and down and down. Sooner or later, it's the salaries are going to have to match.
Kevin, do you really think the union thinks that way?
No, but in my little world of sugar plums.
Seriously, the baseball union of all the unions has never thought the way you think. Never. They've always been like, hey, you know, we're baseball players. Okay, the Red Sox have had three different shortstops, by the way, for three World Series wins in 10 years. Okay, guess what? You are actually interchangeable parts. Okay, they've had three shortstops in three World Series in 10 years instead of the same guy. Okay, so they are interchangeable parts, which is what the union doesn't seem to understand. And the funny thing is, Stephen Drew is going to get a lot of money on the free agent market as a guy who, let's face it, with his glove was magnificent all season and was incredible in the postseason with his glove. But in the postseason, until he hit the home run in Game 6, which was a big home run, obviously, had done nothing at the plate. And he was okay at the plate all year. I mean, he made $9.5 million to hit .265 with 13 home runs. I mean, sure, there's a tremendous value as to how many runs he may have prevented with his glove, so I will understand that. But, geez, at $9.5 million, I'd hope you'd hit .300.
I was going to say that this is looking at stadiums. Look what Pittsburgh did about a decade ago. They, or maybe even longer now, they imploded Three Rivers Stadium, and I actually watched it from Mount Washington, and not with tears in my eyes. And they built Heinz Field and PNC Park. PNC Park is considered to be the best field in baseball. Best stadium in baseball. And you're right, Steve, those numbers for seats, 40-some thousand. You know, and in the old days of Three Rivers, 58,000, I think, was what it was seated for baseball. And there weren't a lot of great seats in Three Rivers Stadium to watch a baseball game.
Right, and you saw the multipurpose stadiums. You know, I mean, they do this in Oakland now. They tarp off upper deck areas, and it's off limits.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that in Miami with the when the Marlins were playing in Dolphin Stadium when they were in Miami Lakes. I mean, that's why they just don't do it. I mean, you really need to have separate stadiums.
Yes, and look
the different sports.
Look what happened to the three stadiums in the East: Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. All gone, all imploded, and replaced by separate facilities for football and baseball teams. And the local people in those cities, the fans of respective teams, they love it.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah, they do. And they're thriving. Great America Ballpark, Citizens Bank, PNC Park. The fans are enjoying the experience. Just like, for example, they're really enjoying the experience at the Link, Paul Brown Stadium. Now, I've never been to Heinz Field, but I've had a lot of people say that Heinz Field doesn't light them up too much.
It actually is kind of weird. I've been there for a number of Steelers games, and it lacks the intimacy that the baseball stadium has, Heinz Field, or PNC Park.
Yeah,
it's
odd.
It's a very sterile atmosphere, and you know the Steelers fans are some of the most passionate fans in professional football, and it really is not a field that lends itself to that. And what's really telling is, the seats are this bright yellow or bright gold, and when people aren't sitting in them, you can see the empty seats around the stadium. They stand out.
Yeah, welcome to another season of Pitt football.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's true. You get the feeling that the place is not crowded because of the yellow seats that are prominent by the absence of a seat in them.
Sure. I mean, that's why. Why do you think in the Superdome? Have either one of you been in the Superdome?
No.
Okay. All the seats are different colors. Do you want to know why?
So they look filled.
Exactly. Because
it looks like multiple people.
Yeah, looking like different shirts are being worn in different seats.
Steve, did you notice how Kevin picked that one right up?
I'm quick today.
He is.
Well, that's a relative term.
Yeah, but all it's right. Tuesday. He's still on cloud nine from that outstanding television performance he did Friday night for cable television.
I'm sure he was great.
The reviews are slowly coming in, but what we've seen and heard, pretty commendable job by Kevin.
The reviews.
Well, I believe the review's about slow. Today's show, what?
I was just going to say, you were talking about going to games. I'm telling you right now, my couch is really comfy, and the food is a lot cheaper.
Fine, Bob and I will go.
Yeah, we're there, Steve.
Actually, I'm into having a good time. Great. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. They understand fun guys like Bob and me. They'll even insure couch potatoes like Kevin.
I'm not sure he's insurable at this point.
There's certain risks that are bigger than others.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Explorer XLT, perfect for a family of four, just $21,998. 2010 Ford Focus, great one-owner vehicle, $12,599. 2008 Jeep Liberty Limited, just $18,994. A beautiful Lincoln Mark LT, new brakes and tires, only $28,495. And a like-new 2012 Ford Mustang Boss, as fast as it looks, lowest price promise, just $44.99. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Homeowners, life, business, auto insurance. If service and price mean something to you, Kratzer Insurance. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And we bring in the head football coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you with us again.
It's good to be back, Steve.
Joe, every year we get, it's usually an unfair question by me early in the season, I will admit, when I ask a coach when they're done with camp about what kind of personality their football team has. You've now watched it play out week after week after week. What kind of personality does your team have?
I'm going to use a term that they use, and I've kind of brainwashed them to use. We're a downhill team, and I feel very privileged to be able to say that about our team. We are a tough team, a physical team, and a team that knows how to play the game the right way. And it's reinforced by watching them on film. And it's also reinforced by hearing our opponent's coach in pregame talk about our team, which that refreshes me and that gives me a feel that we're doing the right things.
Overcoming adversity and resiliency. Your team's had its fair share of it this year. What does it say about your young men, with the emphasis on men?
I don't let them use the word boys on the field. And, you know, even a six-year-old is a man in the making. And, you know, it's a tribute to them in terms of their work ethic. Our seniors have done a great job where people of lesser character might have said, well, we're 1-4, you know, let's move along. And they just kept working their tails off, and a lot of it goes to our staff, too. Our staff has one of the best things we have to look forward to at the end of the day as a staff is our practice. And I've told our kids that a lot of times, that they make our day worthwhile. We spend way too much time together as a staff. We've actually brought on some nicknames related to the Seinfeld series, and I'm not going to tell you who's who, but I'm not going to tell you who I am, but Newman's in there someplace. And then this is just a side note, but
sure.
I know that Elaine works for Jay Peterman.
Yes.
I got a Jay Peterman catalog yesterday, and it's outstanding. And
that's okay. Kevin got an Armani catalog, and he's using it right now to prop up a coffee table. So yeah. It's okay.
And I hope he's not ordering those tight Armani jeans.
No danger of that. They don't get made by Omar the Tent Maker.
Exactly.
You
get your money's worth out of pants, don't you?
You better know it.
Joe, when you look at your program now, sometimes a particular team will form a foundation for what you want moving forward. Does this team fall into that category?
Very much so, Steve. The important thing that I wanted to accomplish here when I got here was that they would be able to effectively pass the torch to one another in terms of work ethic, in terms of accountability, and in terms of understanding what it took to play the game the right way. And although this senior class weren't directly recruited by us, we had them for 4 years. And it's a group that we owe a lot to, and that we talked about it, and this is something I stole from my college coach: plan a standard where a standard's never flown. And we referenced that in pregame and after the game this past week, and they have planted that standard. Now, obviously, we've got to finish, and we're going to go out in the practice field in about a half hour and do that. And one day leads to the next. That's the other thing that I think is important for them to understand, is that as humans, we get tied up in the past and worry about the future, when the only thing that we can impact is right now. They've gotten so much better at that, and that's a sign of maturity.
You go down now to Lexington to play VMI. On that tape, what do they bring to the table that can be a tough matchup for anyone?
The having experience against playing against military academies, those kids play hard regardless, and that's what VMI does. They challenge you with some scheme things defensively. They're a three-down team, where over the past couple weeks we've been playing against four-down teams. They are like us on offense, so I think that gives our defense a little bit more carryover within practice. It's not a spread offense. It's more a pro-style offense. Their defense is the strength of their team, and they're a much better team than their record dictates. Some of it's related to who they play on their schedule in the Big South. You know, they play some very good football teams in the Big South. They also played Virginia. So, they played against good competition. It's going to be their senior day, so I'm sure they're going to work their tails off to make sure their kids are ready to play for their seniors. We're playing on grass, too, which is, this is the first time we're playing on grass since Holy Cross of last year, which is, it's Bermuda, and sometimes this time of year, Bermuda's not even grass. It's I told my kids, we'll play on anything. Give us asphalt, we'll play on it.
Yeah, that's, well, I think one of the more important things now moving forward for you will be the ability to get the word out as often as possible. I hope along the way you feel that some of what we do here in these few minutes that we do helps get the word out, because it's, you've built a really nice foundation.
Well,
and
thank you.
Love what you're doing with the program.
Thank you.
And we wish you nothing but the best of luck down there, because I know you have to get to practice, and I need to let you go.
Are you dealing with round ball now?
I got round ball tonight.
Do you really?
I got round ball tonight. I got football Saturday, round ball Sunday, round ball Tuesday, off to Wisconsin football, and then the round ball at Pitt.
How do you transition between the two?
It's easy. I've done them in the same day.
I mean, I would have trouble with language crossover.
No, I have no issue with that. And but you know what I tell people, Joe? In all seriousness, when people bring that up to me, I say to them, I can't do what you do.
Exactly.
I could not be a coach. I mean, people, I think, are built a certain way to do certain things. There are things that you do as a coach. As you can tell in the interviews, I ask you questions. I don't question you. Because my assumption is you know your business better than I do.
I wish some of the parents would feel that way.
but you know, Joe, that's a fact, though. Yeah. I would not walk in. Like, take, for example, I know you got to, I'm just going to take 30 seconds of your time here because I know you're busy. But, for example, like Kratzer Insurance is our sponsor today. I would never go up to a guy and tell him how to sell insurance.
I agree.
Because that's what he does for a living.
Exactly.
And see, that's why when I talk with you, I ask questions. I never question you. And the reason I know you know your business better than I do.
Thank you.
So,
I appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure.
My pleasure, too. You take care of yourself, all right?
You too. Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Boy, I tell you, I love talking to Joe, and I love talking to Dave Paulson very much. I get so much myself out of it. But that is always my approach on interviews. And my approach on interviews, whether it's Joe or Dave or Patrick Chambers or Bill O'Brien or Ollie Marmol, who's the manager of the State College Spikes, whatever. I don't question them. I ask them questions. Because I feel that if I ask questions, you, the listener, will get answers. Instead of me questioning them. They know more about their profession than I do. And I also feel that when you ask questions, they can then reveal the answer that maybe you're searching for as the listener. It's not a perfect approach, but it's the approach I try to take. So we will come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shamoka Dan Orchestra getting it done today.
They're cooking, as they say, in the business.
I mean, they sound big time to me.
You know, Steve and Kevin, I trust that Bucknell University really understands what gems they have in Joe Susan and Dave Paulson leading two programs which generate a lot of positive publicity for that school, because those guys, both of them in their own ways, because they're two different individuals, but in their own ways, they certainly represent the university exceedingly well and professionally, and they recruit the kind of student athletes that do the same.
And that's the important part. Look, I think that you can tell that the respect I have for Joe and for Dave both.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just think that what they do, Bucknell's really lucky to have two coaches, especially two lead coaches of that caliber. I know Soika gets rocking and rolling. I really, you know, would love to see more people show up at Mathewson for a game, because I mean, I went to a game this year, loved it, had a great experience. Tortured Kevin into the turf, but I mean, it had a great experience.
And you know, Kevin is on his way this Saturday early, all the way to Lexington, Virginia, to do that VMI Bucknell game.
You better be leaving really early. That is about a 10-hour drive.
6 a.m.
6 a.m.? What time's the kickoff?
1. We don't go on the air till 1. It's only about 5 hours down 81.
He's taking the helicopter.
Really?
He's taking the WKOK helicopter tour down the Shenandoah Valley.
You're thinking if we go down, you're thinking about Coastal Carolina. That's 10 hours. Actually, it's exactly 11 hours from my house. I've made the trip a few times.
So he's going to be doing, you know, he is just blossom. I'm referring to Kevin. Yeah. You know, he's branched out into television through my intervention to get him the gig.
Tom, who you know.
And now VMI on his own, because Birdsong will be up in Albany, New York, doing the Bucknell Bison basketball at Albany. So he's flying. I don't know. Are you flying solo, Kevin?
No, I believe it'll be Todd Merritt that'll be with me from Sports Information for Football.
So. Oh, good. And poor Steve, you just
could not fly solo. No way.
And you've just got Jack Hams at your side on Saturday afternoons, 3:30 kickoff Saturday.
I'll be honest with you, and I say this with all due respect, but it's one thing about having Sirius XM. And a little bit on Saturday driving home, a little bit on Sunday driving around a bit. I'm sorry, there aren't any Jack Hams out there. There just aren't any Jack Hams.
No, there's a lot of me's out there, but not a lot of Jack Hams.
No, I'm not talking about you.
No, I am. Look,
yeah, but Kevin, he's in a different category.
But you know,
no doubt.
I mean, he's and I'm talking about because he played and so forth. I mean, so I'm excluding somebody who works their guts out like you do to, you know, to do well. It's just there's something about what he sees, how he looks at it that's completely different. I mean, all I hear is the obvious, cheerleading.
You know, that's
like,
right.
Come on, it's just, you know. And I got the same thing with Dick. Dick, you know, Dick and I may, you know, clown around a little bit and have some fun here and there, but like his nuts and bolts, what to anticipate, what he's seeing, you know, charting possessions, things like that, that's different than what you hear other people do. I mean, I don't think Penn State fans, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure Penn State fans realize how lucky they are with the two analysts they have between Jack and Dick. I mean, really, really lucky, because, I mean, I get to work with them. I know how lucky I feel. Let's take everything back full circle to how we started the show. Penn State plays LaSalle tonight, 6:30 the airtime this evening, 7 o'clock, the tip-off. LaSalle made the Sweet 16 last year. But Penn State, I think right now, might be with Frazier back in there. And the way Frazier played on Saturday, where he had a near-perfect opening half, that's huge. Because last year you didn't get Tyreek Duren matched up against Frazier. Frazier couldn't play. And Penn State hung with this team for 32 minutes, and then the last 8 minutes became a problem. The Taylor Dunn story is an interesting story, which we'll relate in the pregame tonight. You know, once the game gets going, Kevin, you can't really tell stories.
I appreciate the fact that you're going to put it in the pregame, though.
I'd like to tell you a story about Taylor Dunn. Whoo, hey, what's all the noise in the background? Oh, that's just them scoring and the crowd going nuts. But really, no, I've got this story to tell.
Yeah.
Time and place, and the pregame is exactly the spot.
And basketball is not like baseball, where Vin Scully, in between pitches, can tell the entire civilization of man's story. It's just not. It doesn't lend itself to that.
And football doesn't lend itself to it either. I mean, it just doesn't.
No.
I think what's happened is that there's so much on television because you can see the game. Well, if you can see the game, you can tell more stories. On radio, you can't do it.
No.
I mean, you have to be the time, the score, the graphics. You have to be the visual. You have to use words to paint the picture. So that's what you do. So you don't have time to sit there and go, back in 1961, this young man's father played with him. It's like, hey, look, exactly. You slip it in, whatever, you get out. Right? Hey, his dad played for the Lakers. Okay, fine.
Yep.
We're done. Finished. See, Kevin hates that I don't read game notes. Mm-hmm.
By the way, game notes are what sports information directors work very hard at providing folks like us so that we actually know what's going on. Steve does not read the game notes because his head is a walking Wikipedia.
He doesn't
need game notes.
He has that distinct advantage.
Jeff Nelson refers to me as, he says, if everybody had my situation... they'd be very happy because instead of bugging him all the time, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Yep, I keep my own running stuff. Plus, there's experience that lends itself to game notes. I mean, the Taylor Dunn story I told you. Okay, let me guess what the game notes will say. Taylor Dunn is the son of former Penn State head coach Jerry Dunn, who grew up in State College. Da, da, da. That's all it's going to tell.
I don't think the piano thing will be in there.
Nor the fact that he was born the day of the West Virginia game that was prime time, 9:30 game in Rec Hall. Penn State pulled the upset, won the game. Things like that. You're not going to get that unless you lived it. Okay, and that's the difference with this story.
You don't need a game note if you live it.
Yeah, you don't need a game note if you live it, and it's. We can talk about, like Urschel's a game note. Well, Urschel's, I'll tell you right now, Urschel's a game note, and they can talk about academics. But you want to know what John Urschel really, really wants to be known as? He wants to be known as a really good football player, okay? That's not in the game notes, okay? I mean, we could talk about it. This academic, he's up for this award, so forth, blah, blah, blah. He's graduated, he's teaching. That's nice. Except, the kid wants to be known as a football player.
Exactly. Steve, one thing about Jack Ham, and, I think his analysis is so much different than everybody else, because I liken it to chess. Bobby Fischer, the great grandmaster chess player, he did not see a chessboard with 32 black squares and 32 white squares and 16 pieces on a side and all that. He could see the Battle of Waterloo, Pickett's Charge. He could envision things on a chessboard that mere mortals who think in concrete terms can only hope to think about. He sees that ebb and flow of a game, and that's the difference. He sees it much differently than we do.
Right. Well, a great chess player knows where all the pieces are.
Yes.
Okay? Jack looks at the field. He knows where all 22 pieces are at once. I mean... And I don't want to put down what other people do. I just know that the guy I work with is so much better than anybody else.
No question.
You know, I mean, really the only person that could walk in there and foul it up actually is me. So
let Jack know I compared him to Bobby Fischer.
He'd appreciate that, actually.
I know he would.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and, you know, we've often compared Kevin to Boris Spassky in a gulag.
Who? Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Boris Spassky.
Gee, Kevin.
That's Come a story on, for Fisher another day.
Fisher State Senator John Boardner. Congratulations to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury on 80 years of service to Central Pennsylvania.